Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody that's here. We've got some visitors with us all the way from Bullhead City. We're glad to have you. Glad to have the people that are watching on the live streaming. We have a couple of announcements and prayers before we get started. Don writes that the family of Diane Oliver, friends of his, they're doing better and are pretty much recovered from COVID. His son Charlie is also recovering and is hoping to go back to work this week, so we rejoice in that. And also, Barbara, who's watching right now, Barbara Spencer, she has been diagnosed with AFib, and so she's being treated for that, so we want to remember her and give her our best. Today, I want us to look, this is still early in this year, and I want us to look at the concept of the prayers of a righteous man. I want everything, and God wants, it's not nothing about me, but I hope that everything we do as a congregation is in accordance to God's word, is pleasing to God, and that everything we do, we give God the glory. Amen. Whatever we accomplish, whatever we do, even our goals be to God's glory. I want us to have a number of prayers today as a congregation to pray together. These are some things that I request that you continue praying individually in your prayers, you and your family, to continue on with some of these concepts. But I want to start off with a number of verses. They are very self-explanatory. There are some that I will make some comment, but in my opinion, the verses themselves speak for themselves. In Luke 6, verses 12 and 13, it says, "Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray," talking about Jesus, "that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles." We see that even the Son of God, before he had important things to do, and just how often he prayed. He spent all night in prayer to the Heavenly Father before choosing the apostles. And that is a good example for us. In 1 Peter, the apostle wrote, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." That any one of these verses, a whole lesson could be based around. But the idea that we go to God in prayer, casting our cares to him. God wants us to go to him in prayer. Even though he knows our cares before we even bow our heads. He knows what we need. He knows what we want. But we have a great God. Amen. To be able to go to him in prayer and knowing he cares for us. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5, "Rejoice always." Not if it's worth rejoicing. Not if things are going good, but rejoice always. pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is taken from the title of our lesson today, James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We're going to go to prayer today, not the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, but many righteous men and women. We're going to go to God in prayer. Paul wrote in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. There is absolutely nothing wrong with letting our request, giving them to God. The key is making sure what our requests are, if they line up with God's will. But Paul tells us, let our requests be made known to God. Our scripture reading today, Psalm 90, verse 17, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands, excuse me, for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. This year that's still ahead of us, we've got plans, hopes, dreams. Everything we do, we want to establish with God and Him establish our works. Isaiah 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, and who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. We see the great example of Jesus. The night that he was arrested, betrayed, and would, I don't even want to use the word, go to a trial, be condemned. But before that, after he had instituted what we refer to as the Lord's Supper, it says, He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. And the key, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Like Paul said, even Jesus let his request be made known to God. But he had the attitude, I want your will to be done, Father, not mine. And he was willing to yield to God's will. We as a congregation, we've been through a lot. We've been through a lot this last year. I'm going to call Dick up in just a second to lead us in a prayer for our congregation, our hopes, our dreams, our goals, our love, our unity. And that is something I would like for you to keep in your prayers daily. So, Dick, would you come up and lead us in a prayer, please?
Well, Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. We come to you this morning now as a congregation. We know, Father, that the last year has been tough on this congregation. It's been tough on your church. We pray, Father, that you might put a healing hand on this nation, that you might heal this nation of this pandemic, that your people might be able to gather back together, congregate, and worship as they need. We pray, Father, for those that are not with us this morning, that are in their homes, watching you on the internet, watching our service on the internet. We pray that you be with them, that they might be able to gather back with us. We miss the hugs, we miss the love, we miss the camaraderie. Father, we also ask you to be with those of our extended number that are on the internet watching this service, that you be with them, that if they're not Christian, that they might see the way to your kingdom. Father, as we continue in this Las Vegas Valley, we ask you to be with us, that the mission work that we do is in accordance to your will, that it's money being well spent to further your word. We ask you, Father, as this congregation goes forward, that we be a shining light to this city, that each of us as individuals might walk out in the world as a light, that others might see our good works. And Father, as we enter into this new year, we would just ask that everyone take a look at their own lives, that they might look at how they can become better Christians, at how they might look at how can I help the Lord's work here? What can I do to make things better? Let us look into our own hearts. Let us look into that mirror. Be with us, Father, as we as a congregation go into this work this next year. Keep us strong. Keep us faithful. Keep us healthy. And keep us happy. And it's through Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dick. The people that have worshipped here for a number of years, we've had in the back of our mind to someday have a building of our own. If we have to continue worshiping here, we will do it. We would worship if we had to meet in the park. We would worship if we had to meet in a garage. We've been very blessed to have this building, and a lot of people have put effort, time, energy, money into this place that we worship. But it would be very nice someday to have our own building. And why? To the glory of God. Not because we want a fancy, comfortable place. That's the last of it. That's the farthest from our minds. In 1 Chronicles, chapter 22, verse 7, it says, "And David said to Solomon, 'My son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house to the name of the Lord, my God.'" David wanted to build a house of worship, the temple. He wasn't allowed to. In his mind, he wanted to. His goal was. But God said, "No. You've been a man of war. You've shed innocent blood." And he wasn't allowed to. But his goal was to build a house, a place of worship for his God. Solomon, his son, would do it. But David wasn't allowed to. It'd be nice to someday have a building that we owned. This has been a wonderful place of worship for us. And I hope that God has accepted every service and worship that has ever come out of here and lifted up to him. I think he has. Our goal is that every Sunday we worship in spirit and in truth. As we work, as we pray to someday work toward having our own building, I'd like to have Tracy come up and lead a prayer for us as a congregation in our efforts to glorify God through eventually someday purchasing a building. Tracy?
Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we are truly thankful to you for who you are, and we know that you are able to do everything well. Mm-hmm. I'm reminded of a question you asked long ago, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Well, Father, we pray for your guidance in our attempt to acquire a church building. We pray for that we might find the right place. We pray for the guidance in when we find that right place in the construction of that building, whether it be land or an existing structure, that no one be hurt in the process of putting it together, so that the South Valley Church of Christ may be established and we can worship with a little more peace of mind and not have concerns about where we might be in the next year or the coming years. So we can carry on the work of the church here at South Valley. The work that's being done with the supporting the ministries and starting new programs, maybe with the youth and family workshop and marriages and anything else that we may decide we want to do for your glory and our edification. We just pray, Father, that you would bless our effort in this thing that we attempt to do this year. All done to and for your glory and for our edification. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tracy. The last area I'd like us to focus on today is that of elders. As Paul said in Titus, to establish the things that are lacking. Again, in my opinion, that is the only thing that this congregation lacks of being fully pleasing to God. We haven't had men in the proper qualifications yet. I don't know how long it will take. Someday, I am confident that this congregation will have elders. It does my heart good to see Gavin and Oliver helping, even if it's picking up the cups. Someday, if they ever are elders, they can look back that their service started here at South Valley. I think of Gavin and Calvin and Chase helping turn off the lights. Someday, they may be able to think back. Their service started all the way back as a child. I don't know if any of the men here will ever be elders. It doesn't start overnight. An elder doesn't wake up one day and say, I think I'll be an elder. You prepare yourself over the course of years. It is prepared by the spouse you marry. It is prepared by the way you raise your children. If anything comes of this, maybe these young men in here will someday be elders. I hope we don't have to wait that long. But in Titus 1:5, Paul said, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. God designed congregations to have elders, proper leadership. We have done our dead level best without elders to be the kind of congregation God would want. But just like in Crete, that is what is lacking. I'm going to call on Preston to come up right now and lead us in a prayer as we continue to prepare ourselves to have elders. The men prepare themselves in a process to be an elder. You women may be an elder's wife someday. Don't disqualify them by yourself. By the way that you raise your children, don't let that disqualify a good man from serving as an elder. So Preston, I'd like to call you up and lead a prayer for our congregation with elders.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the words that you have provided for us, for the Bible that we have in its current form, how it's tangible and accessible, and we're thankful that we can open it to read of your will for us and your will for the church. Father, knowing that Christ died for the church, we know how important the church is to you, how important it should be to us that we obey your commandments and follow the things that you say, but to comport ourselves in worship and in our corporate structure the way that you would see fit. Father, we're thankful for the letters that Paul has written to Titus and to Timothy, knowing that he left Titus in Crete that he might be able to establish what was remaining. Father, we know what's remaining here in this local congregation, that is elders. Father, we're mindful of Paul's words to Timothy, knowing that the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and to doctrines of demons, means of hypocrisy of liars. Father, we're aware of this. We're aware of the need for spiritual leadership in our congregations, knowing the onslaught of the devil. We pray, Father, that the things that we do in this congregation will lead to that result. We pray for a blessing on our Bible class teachers, that they might be able to raise our youth in your understanding and in your knowledge. We pray that our children will take these things to heart, that our children may be able to look to their parents as examples of Christian faith, strength, and doctrine. Father, we pray for the elder men of this congregation, that they might be examples to the younger men, that the younger men might strive to enter into the service of elders. Because, Father, we know it's a trustworthy statement that if any man aspires to the office of overseer, whether it's a deacon or an elder, it's a fine work that he desires to do. Father, we ask for that desire to be in our hearts. We ask to look inside of ourselves, to recognize what you have called us to do and to accept that call. Father, we pray that the women here of this congregation will be strong mothers, being able to lead their children in your doctrine and to teach them the gospel daily through the examples that they set in their lives. Father, we know how important family is to the life of an elder, that if he cannot rule his own house, how can he be expected to rule your house, Father? So we understand what you have set out for us, and we pray that we will have hearts that are accepting of your principles and of your wisdom. Father, we also ask that we will have hearts that do nothing out of our own fondness of money or sordid gain, but that all things will be done to your glory, that those who are qualified to be elders will do so for no benefit of their own, but solely for the benefit of your church and for your glory. Father, we ask all of these things that we know are in your will. We pray that your will may be done. We pray that we might have the hearts to daily seek after your will. Father, help us to keep this as a communication that's on our lips, a conversation that we have daily and weekly. Help us to pray for these things in our in our own lives, knowing that it can only strengthen the church and bring us closer to each other and closer to you. Father, we want to do all things to your glory and to your praise. Father, we're thankful that we have this opportunity to approach your throne of mercy and your throne of grace, knowing that you are so mighty and high above us. Father, we're thankful for your wisdom. We want to be able to do all those things that you have laid out before us. And establishing elders is one of those things, Father. We're thankful that we can come to you in prayer. We're thankful that we can approach you. We're thankful that we can lay these things at your feet. We're thankful that we can ask for your guidance, knowing that you will provide it. Father, we are so thankful that we have the ability to approach you in prayer through Jesus the Christ, the one who was revealed in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up into glory. And Father, we approach you now and offer this praise and prayer through his name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Preston. That's the lesson. I want to remind you that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. As we go into this new week, please keep some of these issues in your personal prayer as you spend time with God in prayer. We never like to leave an assembly without offering an invitation. If there is anybody here or even anybody watching on the live stream that has been studying the Word of God and realize that they need to be baptized to be saved, we urge you, don't wait any longer. Obey the Word of the Lord. Mark 16:16, Jesus says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." If you need prayers of the congregation, if there is sin in your life, we urge you to repent. Don't let another moment go by with that sin in your life separating you from God. If there is any need that you have, please come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand.